Welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyond Ananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the undarkened corridors of power, and we shine a light ahead of us to the path where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems rather than defend positions. We have another purpose too, and that's to provide a context at a time when the content can be contradictory, confusing, overwhelming. Well, it's long been said that necessity is the mother of invention, but sometimes it is motherhood that makes invention necessary. The organization Moms Across America grew out of one mother's concern about her children's health. Several years ago, our guest today, Zen Honeycutt's boys were suffering from chronic health issues like allergies, asthma, autoimmune issues, and even autism. She writes, quote, "It was overwhelming. I felt terrified and helpless. Then I learned about the food supply and the toxins our children are exposed to, started Moms Across America, and connected with thousands of people dedicated to health," unquote. That one decision to educate herself and take charge of her family's health has sparked what I would call an upwising that has impacted thousands of other families and moved the dial. For example, there are 600, more than 600 Mothers Across America volunteers who have hosted more than 1,000 educational events nationwide. There are more people buying organic than ever before, since all food was organic at one point, but since we've had chemical food. Organic products are growing 3 times faster than conventional foods. 82% of American households now buy some form of organic food. There's over 200 cities that have restricted or banned glyphosate, that is Roundup. And of course, there are now more and more healthy children whose families' hope for the future has been restored. Zen has also written a book about her journey. It's called Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community. So we're happy to have as our guest Zen Honeycutt. Zen, welcome.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you for that really wonderful introduction. I appreciate it so much, and I appreciate the time of your listeners who are with us today.
Yeah, well, this is such an important topic that I'm really going to encourage more people to go back to the archives and hear this. First of all, why don't you begin by telling us your story? How did Moms Across America get started? What prompted that endeavor?
Well, I have to say it was never my intention to start Moms Across America, to be an activist or to be a director of a nonprofit. My background came from an art background. I was a fashion designer in New York for 7 years, and then I started my own natural wellness company. I transitioned from fashion design and product design into natural wellness because I had a baby and I was concerned about toxins that he was being exposed to. In fact, I read an article in off of Los Angeles that talked about off of the coast of Malibu, the fish were being exposed to toxins, which were turning them into hermaphrodites. So 50% of the fish that were male had developed ovaries. And this was when my son, who's now 16, he was probably about 1 or 2. And I started to become very concerned about toxins. So I had my own natural wellness company for about 7 years. And when that got to a point of just having to have a major company, you know, insurance and just a really big investment, I decided to close it because my children were sick. And all of my mom friends in the mom's club had children with allergies or autism symptoms or asthma. And we were wondering what the heck is going on because we didn't have those when we were children. I mean, I had a mom who had an 18-month-old that couldn't even eat an apple, even an organic apple. I mean, something was going on, right? So I began to look into it, and I learned about GMOs from Robin O'Brien's TED Talk, A Patriotism on a Plate, and then Jeffrey Smith's movie, Genetic Roulette, came out. That was July of 2012. And I got involved in the Prop 37 movement, and I never intended on doing that, you know, passing out flyers, trying to basically tell somebody else what to do. Didn't seem like my thing, you know. I was just a mom and didn't want to be an activist. I thought they were too radical. But when I learned about what was happening and that there was an opportunity to label GMOs, genetically modified organisms, which I was sure was connected to my children's health issues, you know, the more I learned about them, the more sure I became. I thought it was worth it to make the effort to get involved, to pass out flyers at my farmer's market. And even though I was scared and nervous to do that, I got involved in it. And when that failed, when that initiative didn't pass by less than 3%, I asked myself, how can I raise awareness with as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time? You know, I knew this, it was not over, that we needed to do something about this. And in fact, it was my son who really inspired me. We were in the parking lot after Prop 37 failed, and I was crying in the car. I couldn't believe that people didn't want, you know, their food labeled for genetically modified. And my son said, "Well, you know, Mom, even Star Wars took 6 episodes." And I thought, "Wow, you know what? You're right." And they had Yoda. And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "So maybe it's just time for a new episode." And he said, "Yeah." And I'm like, okay, so this time I'm going to take on some leadership. Like, what if I took on that I'm the one to transform the food industry? And I don't mean me by myself. I mean, I'm not going to wait for someone else to do it, right? Like, I'm not going to wait for Joe or Harry or somebody else to do this. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to take my actions are going to contribute to the transformation of the food industry. And I say transformation because I don't just mean change. I don't mean swap out glyphosate for dicamba. I mean, no, the entire system gets transformed into organic. And at the time, I didn't even know about regenerative. But now we know that regenerative organic agriculture is the way to go. And that's a transformation for the agriculture industry, for food, and for health on the planet. So that's what I set out to do, and I took on that I was the one to do it, and that was not something I had, you know, really planned on, not something I knew how to do, but I knew that I was committed to health and freedom. And if I take actions based on that commitment, on health and freedom, rather than, I don't know how to do this, I don't have any money, I've got a lot of, you know, I've got sick kids, I don't have a lot of time, if I took actions based on those considerations, I would definitely not have done this. But I decided to take action based on that future. Yeah. You know, but like you're saying, it's a creation, right? I was creating the future.
You know, last night I watched this very inspiring, I think it was like a 4-minute video by Gene Houston, the great author and brilliant genius. And her theme was elect yourself. If there's nobody out there doing whatever it is that needs to be done, take it on. And, you know, not many people do that. And you stepped into that role. Now, let's go back a little bit. How did you first find out that the food might have been the GMOs and glyphosates might have impacted your children's health? And then how did that get mitigated? How did that change over time?
Sure. Well, my children had allergies from very young ages to, you know, dairy, and then later on wheat, to nuts, to eggs, to peanuts. And then later on, when I tested them for food intolerances as well, because they were still rashing out and having irritable, you know, gut and you know, and behavior and learning issues and all of that. At one point, they tested positive for 19, 20, and 22 different food allergies. Or intolerances, and some of them were very high allergies. Some of them were life-threatening. My son almost died from pecans in the stuffing on Thanksgiving. And so when those food allergies were happening, I was just, for many years, I was just trying to avoid those foods. And it was a very scary thing to do. You know, all of a sudden going to somebody else's house is like a food, it's like a mine, you know, like who's going to have a cookie with a peanut in it, you know, that could kill my child. It's very disturbing. So when I found out about GMOs and later on really glyphosate, I mean, I kind of knew about glyphosate in the beginning, but I didn't really get the impact in it of it. I don't think anybody really did. We were really focused on the genetically modified organisms. That was through, again, Robin O'Brien and Jeffrey Smith. And when I found out that there were, you know, foreign proteins in our food, proteins that were not normally found in nature, I thought, wait a second, my kids' stomachs probably don't like that. And they're probably getting inflamed because of these foreign proteins. And that is very concerning to me. And if these are genetically modified proteins, you know, you are what you eat. You become what you eat. And what type of genetic modifications could be going into my children's body? I was very concerned with that. And then in Jeffrey Smith's body, Jeffrey Smith's movie, Genetic Roulette, when he mentioned pesticides as well, I was like, wait a second, these are toxic chemicals. Maybe my kids are, you know, just reacting to these toxic chemicals because their immune systems are not as strong as, you know, my husband's or mine. And you know, just went on to research more of that. And I learned that GMOs are genetic, 80% of GMOs are engineered to withstand glyphosate-based herbicides. And glyphosate is the declared active chemical ingredient in Roundup and 750 other brands that contain Roundup, like Ranger and, you know, Ranger Max and Ranger Pro and all that stuff. So that is sprayed on our food. It's, you know, these genetically modified foods are engineered to tolerate it. So they can spray it directly on the food and the weeds around the soy or the corn will die, but the soy or corn crop will continue to survive. And the residues on that crop will not wash off. It doesn't dry off, doesn't wash off, it doesn't cook off. They get into your food. The glyphosate actually goes into the cell of the plant. And this is why we later found out about a couple years later, I did testing and found glyphosate in wine because it uptakes from the roots into the plants, into the grapes, and goes into the wine. So this is a very dangerous pesticide. It's actually an herbicide, but we classify, you know, all herbicides and pesticides as pesticides. It's very dangerous because it goes into the plant like that and it doesn't just wash off like some other pesticides do. So I also learned that 20% of GMOs are engineered to have the toxin inside the plant. So this toxin is called BT or Bacillus thuringiensis, and it kills the bugs by exploding the stomach of the corn rootworm that eats it. And so that toxin is inside the corn or the soy, and when we eat it, it can disrupt our gut as well. I mean, we're not very different from insects. We share somewhat like 95% of the DNA as, you know, I believe it's mosquitoes or, you know, many different types of insects. So if it's going to kill insects, I don't understand why these scientists don't think it would hurt human beings, because it does. It destroys our shikimate pathway in our gut, which is where our bacteria lies, and it destroys our gut. Then there's a very small percentage of GMOs which are engineered, and this is more recently now, to have a desired trait. Like, for instance, to have apples that don't brown or pineapples that are pink for whatever reason that needed to happen. You know, just some they're doing CRISPR now and gene editing and gene drives, having potatoes so that they look like they don't brown, but they're actually masking the rotting. So you just don't see the rotting. It's still, the potato's still rotting. You just don't see it. Yeah, isn't that lovely? So that I call
like our
a desired
society,
trait.
You know, it's just like that. Yeah.
It's cover
amazing.
It up.
It's just like all of these other things that it's not how you feel, it's how you look, you know. And if a fruit looks good, then we don't want to go below the surface to find out that it's really rotten. And, you know, we see this in so many of our systems right now. You know, this is a fractal thing. It's happening in nature. We're doing it to nature. And so this is really quite an amazing journey that you're on. Now, I've also noticed, of course, if I Google your books and your site, that tracking those are all of these industry sites disguised as educational organizations. And you can tell, you know, they're saying, oh, no, it's safe. And so it just seems that there is this this reassuring shadow saying, oh, it's okay, these people are alarmists, it's safe. So what kind of pushback have you gotten in terms of your work and moving forward with?
Yeah, quite a bit of pushback. But I said in the very beginning that I was going to do this anyway, because moms investigate. When something's wrong with our kids, we research. We go down the rabbit hole. We spend hours and hours, if not days and years, of researching information. And we don't just believe whatever is put before us anymore. You know, whatever's on the grocery store shelf, we don't believe anymore that that's just safe, because we know now. We've learned so much about the EPA and the FDA and the CDC, the failings of those governmental agencies that are supposed to be protecting us, and how corrupt they are, and how they are, for the most part, not protecting us, and all of the funding that goes towards our senators and our regulatory agencies. We simply just cannot take whatever they say at face value anymore. And so we've done a lot of research, and then I've had a lot of people, criticize me. In fact, the lawsuits against Monsanto uncovered that Monsanto had employed, I don't remember, it was over 100, maybe over 200 people to attack people like me. I think they called it the project Leave No Stone Unturned, basically go after everybody that is criticizing genetically modified organisms or glyphosate. And then they were real character attacks. I got what they call doxing, which they really go after. They dug up photos of my home birth and, just many different, posted pictures of me as a dominatrix. And I mean, just very, weird things that they thought would probably stop me. But in fact, for the most part, we just laughed and moved on and said, we're just going to keep doing this. Because, once you face the fear of having your child almost die in front of you, there's really nothing else there's really nothing that can stop you. So we just keep going. And the trolling has calmed down a bit now that Monsanto is a part of Bayer, and they have their own troubles to face right now. They're looking at, they lost one lawsuit. The first one was a $278 million verdict that got condensed down to $80 million by the judge. The next lawsuit, also $80 million. And there's a third lawsuit that they're up against now in San Francisco, the Pilioid couple, two people that both have Roundup in the same family that used, they have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that both used Roundup. And they're facing 11,000 other lawsuits. So they have enough of their own problems right now that, for the most part, we are continuing to educate people and don't experience much, pushback.
Good. When we come back after our break, we'll talk more about health and we'll talk more about the journey. This is Steve Behrman, WikiPoliticky. We're talking with Zen Honeycutt, who founded Moms Across America.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Namaste, friends. This is Deva Pramala Mitten. And we want to let you know that we will be in America and Canada this May. We'll be coming with our Wings of Mantra World Tour, coming up the West Coast to Boulder, Santa Fe, Sedona, Scottsdale, Santa Barbara, L.A., Marin, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Escondido, Edmonds, and up to Canada to Victoria and Vancouver. You can find details on our website, devapramalmiten.com. Hope to see you there. Lots of love. Namaste.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Okay, this is Steve Behrman. I'm back with my guest on Wiki Politiki, Zen Honeycutt. She's founder of Moms Across America that got started because of the illnesses she saw in her own children and looking to find a way to clear that through diet and health and education and helping other people do the same. In terms of your children's condition, how did all of that unfold? What kinds of changes did you make, and how soon were you able to see positive changes?
Thank you for asking. I realized I didn't get to that. I just talked about GMOs and what they are, which is very important. And when I learned all of that, what GMOs are, my son was sitting in the kitchen one day, and he had a rash around his mouth, and he had had that rash on and off for 7 weeks. And he said, Mom, I wish all my allergies would go away. And I said, yeah, me too, buddy. But in my head, I was thinking, that's never going to happen because the doctors had told us they were just going to get worse. And then I realized what I was thinking, and I thought, that's very resigned and doubtful. That's not what I'm committed to. What if we could make a difference? And I thought of my cousin Sarah, who had gone gluten-free for a year and had eventually was able to eat gluten then again and tolerate it. So I said to my son, Ben, would you like to have a slice of pizza one day at a birthday party? And he said, yes. And I said, well, then would you partner with me? Would you drink green drinks and go to alternative doctors? Would you do whatever it takes to get better? And he said, yes. And I said, then I promise you, you will get better. And I shook his hand and I buckled down and I learned more about, that's when I learned about GMOs and the food supply and his allergies. And he drank green drinks. He went GMO free and mostly organic. Then I wasn't, to be honest, completely organic right away. I thought it's okay now and then. But just in going GMO free and cleaning up his diet and taking care of his gut, within 4 months, his allergies were dramatically reduced. He had very faint pink line under his lip instead of a big red rash. And it only lasted 2 days instead of 2 weeks. And so that was a huge turning point for us. And eventually, I believe it was, I don't remember now whether it was 1 or 2 years of going organic because all the years have merged together. But within about 1 or 2 years when he was retested, his allergies had gone from a 19 to walnuts and pecans, which is life-threatening, down to a 0.2. And so now he no longer has life-threatening food allergies, and his gut is restored. His health is amazing. He's a cross-country runner. He's a straight-A student. He is happy and fit, and he's actually taken it to the next level, and he's gone vegan. So he's nothing organic has passed his lips in probably 3 years. And coincidentally, he hasn't been to a sick doctor visit in over 3.5 years. So we've saved a lot of money by him going and all three of my children going organic. We used to spend maybe $15,000 a year on their sick visits and different tests, you know, blood tests and, you know, asthma inhalers and EpiPens and, you know, all of that business. We used to spend a lot of money, and now we don't spend that money. My kids are, their immune systems are much stronger. And so then my other son also had autism symptoms when he was 8 years old, my middle son. a sudden onset, and that was the same time that we found 8.7 parts per billion of glyphosate in his urine. He was the first one tested in America with our initiative. And that was about a year, you know, a year or two later when once I really found out more about glyphosate. And his gut was, he had gut dysbiosis. He had holes in his small intestines, leaky gut. He had C. diff, all kinds of bacteria. And when I found that out, I thought, wow, that's what glyphosate does. And I realized that he was the only one of my three sons that was eating wheat. And wheat can be very highly sprayed with glyphosate as a drying agent. And when I say glyphosate, I mean glyphosate herbicides, the whole, you know, the final formulation. So it's sprayed with glyphosate herbicides as a drying agent that doesn't come off. You consume it, and it can destroy your gut bacteria, which can lead to inflammation in the brain and autism symptoms. And that's what my son had. So we went 100% organic, 100%. And we took care of his gut. He did have to take some antifungal. He did have sauerkraut and colloidal silver. And he ate no sugar from Thanksgiving until New Year's through the holiday. He was very good about that.
Wow.
And 6 weeks later, he's really good. Yeah, and better than I was. And 6 weeks later, we retested him, and his glyphosate levels were no longer detectable, and his autism symptoms were gone. And they have never come back, and it's been over 4.5 years. So we've saved a ton of money for that, because that 1 or 2 months that we were just treating his gut and the autism symptoms, it was costing $650 a month just for the compound medication. And, you know, if not a couple thousand more for all the different blood tests and, you know, other types of things that we were giving him. So we've saved a lot of money. There are people I know that have children with autism symptoms that spend a lot of money on therapies. They spend maybe $65,000 to $100,000 a year just on different types of therapies and treatments for their kids. So for me, going organic is essential for my family's health. It is not something I would even consider not doing. It's worth it. Even though it does cost more initially, it costs far less down the road in the long run. And my kids are happier. Yep. They're happier. They're more well behaved. They're more attentive. They're more focused. They're people that other people want to be friends with. You know, they're just, you know, they have and they can fulfill on the future that they want to fulfill on. So to me, it's worth it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just interviewed Jeffrey Smith a month or two ago. He's got a new movie out that essentially is about family, where there were 20 plus chronic health conditions in this family of 4 or 5 people. And simply by going organic and GMO free, all of those cleared up. And so what's really vexing about this whole thing is that we have, we always seem to be in the time of where candidates are debating and we're being drawn into this election thing. And neither of the mainstream political parties, as far as I know, certainly not maybe some individuals in those parties, are really ready, willing, and able to take on this kind of issue that really impacts all of us. And how have you, I'm sure that in this process, you've kind of gone down the rabbit hole to a certain extent, and you probably have friends and other people go, oh, they're really okay. And it's, you know, they're kind of sticking with one program or another that's part of the mainstream. How do do you feel isolated? Do you feel like you're getting more allies these days?
Oh, well, in the beginning, I felt very isolated. I probably cried on and off for 3 days. I watched Robin O'Brien's TED Talk 3 or 4 times before I could even begin to share it with my sister or my mother. I didn't know anyone that knew about GMOs or the toxic chemicals related to it. And it wasn't until I began to connect with GMO Free USA online and an online community that had me begin to get active. You know, I found my local volunteers and started going to the local Prop 37 things. And I think really that's one of the reasons why I became an activist too, because I could connect with people that knew what I knew and felt the same way, and not feel so alone. And that really helps. So if anybody does feel alone, I really do urge you to get involved and go out and find a group, you know, first connect online, but then go meet in person. Say, hey, let's have a park day, you know, play date. Let's go for coffee and connect in person, because it is very isolating to feel like it's you against the world, or you against your, you know, your whole, all of your in-laws that are bringing all kinds of, you know, food that you don't want to eat anymore. It can feel very confronting. And thank goodness my mother-in-law now, she buys all organic, especially when she saw the allergy test for my kids, their results. So she's wonderful. And and that can happen, you know, it can switch over like that. But in the beginning, it was very isolating. Now I feel like I have friends all around the world. I feel so blessed. I've been able to speak in 7 different countries, and we've been in 9 different documentaries. We have 600 leaders all across the country that have created over 1,000 events. Like you mentioned earlier, we joined into 4th of July parades, which is so fun, and you feel so connected. You get to pass out flyers and wave and smile and meet, you know, complete strangers that are actually in your town or your neighborhood. And it's wonderful. I feel very connected with community now, and I have some of the best friends I've ever had in my entire life just because of this mess of a food system. So I really believe that with any breakdown, you can create a breakthrough, and some of those breakthroughs mean incredible relationships with wonderful people.
Yeah, that's really, really true. I mean, in a certain regard, you know, there's like any hero or heroine's journey, you know, there's always this challenge. And you know, people go, who, me? There's always that reluctance because, you know, most of us, we just want to have a good life and you know, and blend in and so on. And every now and then, people are called upon to do extraordinary things. And if you didn't do what you did, then it wouldn't have been done. What's your coaching for people who feel this sense of, I need to elect myself because nobody else is doing it, and they have, you know, they're just regular people. They haven't been trained to do that. They may have to, you know, overcome challenges. How do you coach people who go, you know, I want to start something. I want to be an activist.
Well, I would just invite you to connect with the group that you already feel most connected with. To start with, if you go to church often, to start with your church group and ask if you can bring some flyers or invite a speaker or to show a short movie. Like, for instance, our short movie, it's very raw but authentic. It was shot on our phones. It's called Communities Rising, and it's on free on YouTube. And it's 45 minutes, so it's the perfect length for a short movie at your church or your library. And so you just ask, can I show this movie, and invite people from church or from the library, and then afterwards have a discussion. And so people can ask questions, and if you want to, you can just say, we're going to talk about it. If you don't feel like an expert, you can invite maybe a nutritionist to come, you know, speak, or a doctor, or another local activist. You can find activists on our website under Connect. We have, you know, the leaders that have caused events already across the country. They are able to be contacted through our website, and we hope they'll get back to you. If not, you can message us, and we'll find somebody for you. And just get involved. The best way to get involved is to invite other people to get involved, and that means hosting an event. And it doesn't have to be scary or a big deal. You don't have to, you know, bring tons of organic food or something like that. You can just provide organic chips and salsa and organic lemonade and call it a day, you know, just make it something really easy for yourself. But that's a great way to get involved. And then if you want to do more and actually rally a group to be in a parade, you can reach thousands of people locally and millions nationally in a single day by joining into a parade. And if you do post an event on our website under events, we know that you're serious. And our sponsors have supported us to be able to print up flyers by the hundreds of thousands, which is much cheaper, right, per flyer than you would print in your local town. And we will send a box of flyers to you. You pay for shipping, but we've paid for it's about $200 worth of flyers. So you'll be able to pass those out at your parade or give somebody a stack of flyers at your movie night and ask them, will you bring this to your local library? So you start to have other people be activists by giving them a stack of 100 flyers. Don't let them take 2 or 3. Give them a stack and say, will you leave this at the library, or will you leave this at the senior center, or will you leave this at your school? And have them start to take on activism. And that's very fulfilling, very empowering, and very effective in our communities, because there are, like you mentioned earlier, over 82% of families now buy some organic. So we know they're interested in it. And when they see one of our flyers that says, why eat organic, they get to have answers to their questions. and they get to be reassured, and they get to know more about the health benefits and the benefits to farming and the economy and the benefits to climate change by eating organic, which are extensive. So we urge you just to start where you're at already and take one little step and invite other people to get involved. And it's really very fun. I have organic potluck movie nights probably about every quarter, used to be every other month. And they're super fun to have people over.
And you show a documentary or just anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we show a documentary. I mean, there's so many food movies out now. I mean, you mentioned Secret Ingredients. I'm in that one as well. Yeah. My family's in that one. Yeah. There's Modified out right now. There's another movie called Food Cure, which will be coming out soon. We have a list on our website under About, I believe it's, or Data, maybe under Data, of movies that you can show. And many of them are free, and they're on Netflix or Amazon. So there's lots of movies about food right now that you can watch.
I love your idea of the way to become an activist is to be active and activate other people, because then automatically they're treating you like you know more than they do. And then you do, because you've actually initiated something. And in the process of conversation, you always learn in conversation. As a former teacher, I recognize that. I taught what I learned, and I had to, the more I taught it, the more I learned it, and the more natural it came to me. So you're in a similar place. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the future of food, the future of your organization, and also more of how people can become involved and how we can move this movement forward. Steve Behrman, Wiki Politiki, we're talking with Zen Honeycutt, Moms Across America.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose. To link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network, presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential, so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Steve Behrman. We're back with our guest today, Zen Honeycutt. We're talking about GMOs. We're talking about how she healed her family, or helped her family heal, helped family heal themselves, essentially. That's what the body does, by eating organic and avoiding GMOs. And she's become a very effective educator. I like, just because I like to play with words, I like to use the phrase upwising, as in wising up, as in waking up to the trends and manipulation, and wising up to the power we have in coherence, in acting together in a space of love and conscience and and unity. And so what do you see as signs of the uprising in regards to this movement? What trends, et cetera, do you find encouraging, and what keeps you going?
Oh, well, I just love that phrase, by the way, uprising. It's just great because, you know, in many ways we're already wise, right? Our ancestral knowledge that we have, if our ancestors, for instance, settlers or the indigenous people, didn't know about herbs and natural remedies to take care of their families, we wouldn't be here on this continent. We wouldn't be here on this earth right now. So we all have ancient wisdom that many of us have forgotten. So it's like, you know, you're bringing it up again. You're raising up the wisdom that we have had for so many years, and we're regaining our trust in ourselves, and we're regaining our trust in Mother Earth and herbs and, you know, natural remedies. And we are opting out of the toxic treadmill of chemical cocktails in the industry of agriculture that is the state that it is right now. And we're opting out of big pharma by, you know, healing our family with food and with natural remedies. So I'm really excited about that phrase. And where I see this happening is, I mean, in the smallest examples of things like where I posted on social media one day that I'd love to have a Moms Across America Center where we could have great grandma wisdom courses, right? Where we learn again how to do, make sourdough bread and fermented food and make tinctures out of herbs and what kind of teas to have when. And I had a tremendous response of people that were not only saying, I would love to take those classes and that's what's missing in my life, but some people were saying, I've already started that in my town. Or I go to classes like that already in my town. There is a huge uprising of, you know, of knowledge from our ancestors, yeah. You know, and it's happening right now. And yeah. I also saw, I just came back from the Environmental Health Symposium where there were 500 doctors, and the entire discussion was around the impact of environmental toxins like DDT, BPA, phthalates, glyphosate, GMOs, atrazine, you know, all of these different petrochemicals, right, made from petroleum. And the entire discussion was around how these petrochemicals are the major contributing factor to illness and chronic disease in America today and around the world. Now, if you think about it, this is very different from how it was 100 years or so. Back then, it was germs and genetics. It was just, oh, you have this because your father had this, or you have this because there's germs and you need to, you know, clean up your house or your hands or whatever. And so the shift is now to toxic chemicals. And that is definitely an uprising, right? We have become wise to the harm of toxic chemicals. We have become wise to reading what's on the packages of our food and on our body care products. And the manufacturers are beginning to realize this, that we don't want toxins in our bodies at all. We don't want to buy them. So there's a huge shift to organic and safe, you know, non-toxic chemicals. And we recommend certifications like Made Safe and, you know, USDA organic or CCOF or biodynamic. It's also called Demeter with non-GMO Project Verified because of the testing that non-GMO Verified conducts. And also glyphosate residue free is a great certification. So that's what wise people are looking for now, right? They're looking for those companies that are making that effort to do the right thing and to get those types of certifications. And we're so grateful to them.
Now, of course, there's an organization called Real Organic, which is I forget the guy's name, but it's looking at how even, you know, because of the interlocking directorates between the chemical food industry and the so-called regulatory agencies, that some of the regulations have gotten kind of slip-slidey. So if is a private way of verifying, like this Real Organic, which is much more stringent, which is designed much more for the consumer than for the producer and the profit system. So that's, I think that people are waking up to that. What do you see, where do you see this movement politically? Do you think that there's a political movement that will shift how we grow food?
Well, I see the Green New Deal coming out, which calls for, you know, great actions to be taken within the food system in order to impact climate change. Now, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, I would urge you to take a look at that and the changes that do need to be made, whether you think they're far-fetched or not, and to consider that both parties really are equally responsible for the mess that we're in right now. The Republicans are famous for deregulating, right, and allowing corporations such as Dow, DuPont, and Monsanto to not have regulations so that they can make as much money as possible, which means poisoning us, right, by selling their poison chemicals. And the Democrats are pretty much equally famous. I believe it was Bill Clinton that really deregulated a lot of GMOs in the pretense of progress, you know, thinking that we need to produce more food in order to feed more people. The Democrats tend to believe in, you know, giving money towards social welfare, like people all having access to food and all having access to, you know, social welfare issue, you know, funding and all of that. And unfortunately, also all having access to mandatory vaccines. So we're seeing the Democrats pushing things like mandatory vaccines and GMOs through the food supply by giving everybody, you know, all hungry people GMO food, and the Republicans deregulating chemical companies and vaccine manufacturers and having them not be liable anymore for things like vaccine damage. And the reason why I bring up vaccines is very concerning to me is because we tested 5 childhood vaccines and found glyphosate weed killer in the vaccines. So what's happening is that glyphosate herbicides are contaminating pretty much everything. I mean, we initiated the testing in America for glyphosate in breast milk and water, tap water and urine and many other products, and we're finding glyphosate in practically everything. And the problem with this is that glyphosate breaks down the blood-brain barrier and allows toxic chemicals into the brain and the gut. In other words, it increases the harmful impact of other environmental toxins. So toxins that normally wouldn't have hurt us before are now causing much more harm. And so it's a huge problem on both sides. The Republicans and the Democrats are both causing problems with this. And so what I urge people to do when you're looking at which candidate you want to back is to look at who's funding them. Like, really, it's time to stop looking at political parties, because we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble by just voting down party line, because many of these people are not in line with our values. So you really have to look at who's funding them. Is Big Ag, Big Oil, or Big Pharma funding that candidate? And if they are, they are already bought out. They will not take actions on based on your best interest. So that's a really good point to look at going forward.
Yeah, and you know, because part of the work that I'm doing with Wiki Politiki is highlighting ideas that help people overgrow this two-party system. I'm working with a project called National Town Square, which would be an independent citizens, a place where essentially be freedom of assembly 3.0, where people will have a voice and a vote, advisory vote, and totally verifiable and so on, so that on these issues where people from both parties tend to agree. And, of course, what happens during election time, which now is all the time, people are divided and conquered, you know, divided into these two tribes where the two sides don't really get to talk to one another about the kinds of things that we're talking about now. So yeah, your work is really
That's very important, transpartisan work.
Yeah, yeah, because what you're doing is transpartisan. Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, well, everybody eats, you know, and so we don't bring up politics in the sense of, you know, like this is one way you should go or the other way. And even, you know, the president or different political candidate, we don't talk about the person. We talk about the issue. And the issue is what we all need to take action on, whether we're a Republican or Democrat or somewhere in between. And I really, again, I do believe that going forward in the future, it really, the political party will really not matter as much anymore. In fact, many people have just been so dismayed by their political party on both sides that they don't feel connected to their political party at all. And they want to have a new definition of what a good candidate means for them. And I think that means a candidate that is not taking funding from major corporations that are currently polluting the planet and killing us. So that's exactly right.
You know, and you know, it's certainly true. Yeah. I mean, people, I just got in a little bit of trouble. I was doing my comedy show and mentioned this is to a more progressive group and mentioned the vaccine issue, and boy, did I get pushback because these people mm-hmm. thought that I was anti-science and all of that. And you know, there's a lot of the media is certainly complicit in this and making sure that people don't really get the information that they need and making sure that the two sides are divided and arguing about things rather than focusing on working together. So what I love about what you're doing is you have a movement that is moving toward something. You're moving toward a world that is healthier, that maybe does look seven generations forward and seven generations backward, like the native peoples. And maybe it's also much more about returning to practices where we allow nature to know best. I mean, if you think about it, I've watched a number of these series, of some of the documentaries that you've been in, that really talk about how we don't really know what the impact of these chemicals are. And yet it's kind of like the you know, the Mickey Mouse cartoon Sorcerer's Apprentice, where, you know, here's somebody who thinks they know what they're doing, but they've unleashed all of these forces that are unmanageable. And there's a lot of hubris and arrogance in material science, thinking that that they know better than nature.
Right. Right. Yes, there are. And that's one of the major problems right now. We think that we're separate. Most people think that they're separate from nature, when in fact we're all connected. And, you know, creating chemicals to pour on the soil or along the waterside and kill off life will eventually kill us. And it, in fact, it is right now. You know, we've lost, 60 to 70% of our wildlife, and over the past 40 years, that cannot keep going. We've lost, I believe it's 70-something percent of the insects in certain areas. Insects are typically the last ones to die. So if we're killing them off, we don't have much of a shot if we keep this going for us. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to change right now. And what I'm really grateful for are people like you who are getting the word out about the changes that we can make, and for people who are taking at least one action a day to make those changes, to speak up, to go to talk to their state senators, their legislators, their federal senators, and to raise awareness about the issues that are going on for us right now. We really need to step up right now. There are freedoms that we are losing, medical freedoms. There are, you know, civil liberty freedoms. There are, we just don't even have GMOs labeled now. We lost that fight. We don't have GMOs labeled. Everybody's still eating food, and they have no idea whether or not there's GMOs in them or not. And toxic chemicals, they're not labeled in the food. So we have a lot of work to do, and we need everybody who's listening and everybody's, you know, everybody everywhere to take on what, you know, one area of their life that they are going to transform and say, I'm the one that's going to do this. I don't know how. I don't know, you know, how much it's going to cost, but I'm going to figure it out along the way. And in doing that, we will regain health in America. We will regain trust for ourselves and for our community. And we will grow into the country that we want to be, you know, a country that we can be proud of.
Wow. That's a fabulous statement. And I can imagine that's what your book, Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community is about. I'm sure you've learned a lot. To kind of wrap up, because we're getting to the end of our show, first of all, how do people find your organization? I have it up on my website, but always good to announce it in case somebody's driving in their car and listening.
Sure. You can go to momsacrossamerica.org or .com. Both lead you there. And you can sign up for our newsletter just under – if you scroll down, it'll say sign up now. There's a happy-looking girl that with her thumbs up. You can sign up for our newsletter. And when you do that, you'll actually get a free copy, a mini ebook of my book. It's a short version of my book, so you can just sort of get the gist of it. And then if you want to find out more, you can buy my book on Amazon and or through my website. And you can also go to our health solutions store, where we have health solutions for the gut. We have an action page where you can get involved. You can post your event. And you can go to the Toxin Free Town campaign page where you can get flyers and talking points to get Roundup and glyphosate-based herbicides and other toxic chemicals out of your town. So we have a tremendous amount of resources, science and articles and blogs and videos and all kinds of things on our website. And we really do hope you'll spend some time looking around our website and getting involved. And if you're so moved to do so, to donate, because all of this does take resources. So we really appreciate that.
And how many years have you been doing? How long ago did you start Moms Across America?
It's been 6 years now. And we started the website in 2013 in February, and within 4 months, by July, we had a reach on Facebook of over 300,000 a week. So it grew quite quickly in the beginning. And it's been 6 years now, and we have really been so excited to connect with people all across the country and around
wow.
the world.
Well, this, yes, and if this happened right after the GMO labeling thing got defeated in 2012,
yes.
right? And you took this on the next
yes.
year.
But since then, far more people now know about GMOs than don't know about GMOs. So it's really hard to say we lost, because in many ways we won, you know, by raising awareness yeah. and by people shifting towards organic.
Thank you so much, Zen Honeycutt, for being our guest on WikiPolitiki today and talking about Moms Across America and the movement to heal our soil, heal our diet, and return to natural, restorative farming. This is Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki. We'll be back with you next week.